Okay, next speaker is Mark S. from St. Albans. We're also in for another treat.
I know.
I got to meet him through my Monday night meetings down in St. Albans, and he said a lot of things that have helped me look at things in a different view. He's another one that's become kind of special to me, and I'm sure he'll have a lot to tell us.
Thank you. I am Mark from St. Albans, and I am kind of wishing I was a little shorter so I could do like Karen does and be kind of not very close. Well, from the looks of what just happened to the room, it looks like everybody's heard me speak before. I am Mark, and by the time I get settled down up here, it'll be time for me to quit. I'm nervous, and I'm not a native West Virginian. I'm West Virginianer or West Virginian or whatever it is. I'm a Marylander. Is there anybody here from Maryland? Okay, there's three people in the audience wearing shoes. Okay. This is kind of difficult for me. I'm not a big talker, and I'm not as dynamic as Hunter is. I'm kind of quiet, and I just get it over with, and wonder if it'll ever happen again. I've been in this program 5 years, 11 months, 2 weeks, and 4 days. I got into this meeting, I was physically dragged into an Alateen meeting. I didn't want to go. It was my 16th birthday, but I'm grateful that I'm here. I was born in Maryland, like I said, in Silver Springs area, which is a suburb of Washington, D.C., and everybody that I knew at the time, all the older, quote-unquote, adults that I knew drank, or did barbiturates or amphetamines or whatever, all the above. So I didn't have, like, Hunter said, the quote-unquote, normal lifestyle that he had. I have a lot of problems doing these because I don't remember too awful much of my childhood. My earliest memory is when I'm about four and a half years old. And then my next memory is when I'm in, I think, the sixth grade. So it just all kind of goes nowhere from there. I have two sisters. They're both younger than I am. They're both 3 years apart, and we're 3 years apart. So as a child early, I was forced into the parent's model role of, which is a lot of alcoholic children are. My dad is a recovered alcoholic. He's been in the program 5 years, 11 months, 2 weeks, and 6 days, I think. There's like 2 days difference between us. So our family has grown immensely. It was during childhood what I can remember. There was no communication whatsoever. My sister, directly younger than I am, fought constantly, and my little sister, she just didn't care. My mom bickered back at us constantly. Hey, Mark, I love you, or hey, Chuck, I love you, or Marquita or Carrie or whoever. It was, you know, why'd you do this and why'd you do that? Kind of got off track already. That's terrible. Anyway, my father's drinking became progressive, which is, I guess, a normal format for all alcoholics. But I'm not, you know, I can only say what the alcoholic family of ours did. I can't say what all the rest of them are doing. His drinking became progressive, and he was never physically violent, but he was verbally violent and very emotionally violent. He set very high standards for me. Mainly, I feel he set for me. From the age of about five, he forced me into a baseball program, which I didn't mind. You know, I liked baseball. But once again, there was very high standards, And if I didn't make All-Star 3 years in a row, or I didn't hit any home runs or whatever, I just didn't live up to his standards, and he belittled me. And as you can see, I never did grow out of it. This is going to sound more like a sibling rivalry thing here, but if you knew my sisters, they would admit it also. I was more, well, whenever Dad went out, they sent Mark with him. Mark would keep him sober, right? My mom spent more time with my sisters, so I never did really know my mom. They said that the alcoholic in the home is the bad one. Well, I could put up with Dad. You know, he came home every night at 5:30. Sat in his chair, drank a little bit, family went upstairs to eat dinner, he'd spill his plate in the lap, go back downstairs, and go to sleep. And it's just that simple. You know, you spend 16 years like that, and what's to know? Mom would fix dinner. She would wait for him to spill it in his lap, clean it up, and we just didn't see her any longer after that, or I didn't anyway. She was upstairs talking with the girls or whatever, so I became a loner from the start. Oh, Lord. I made it through elementary school. What I remember, I don't remember too awful much of it. And I went to junior high school. In seventh grade, I went to a school in Maryland where they didn't give A's, B's, C's, D's, and E's, or check marks, BG's, D's, or whatever. They gave you a P or an F. You either passed or you failed. So I could bring home a report card with all P's on it, and Mom and Dad never know the difference. If you ever get in a school system where they do that, you'll find out very easily that the F can very easily be changed into a P. Dad started drinking on the job, and Dad's a master electrician, so if you're living in Maryland, have your house checked out. Because he was drinking on the job at the time. And Dad's an excellent electrician now. But he started drinking on the job. And, his boss caught him a couple of times. And his boss was a drinker. And the rest of the crew that he worked with was drinkers. Were drinkers. Probably still are drinkers. But he got caught a couple of times drinking on the job. And the guy he worked for decided that he couldn't have anybody who drank and worked for him. So that's kind of like the pot calling the kettle black there. So we decided we'd try the geographical change, and we moved to West Virginia. West Virginia's a nice state, but I prefer the Atlantic Ocean and Eastern Shore. We moved here, and before we moved, my dad came down 6 weeks earlier to get a job, and he also got a job with another drinking electrician. Well, I'm telling you. He was down here 6 weeks prior to when we got down here. And Dad is one of the old ones that say, you know, you can drink vodka because it doesn't show up on your breath. From what I understand, and talking to the lady that he lived with, which is my Aunt Rosie, but he spent 6 weeks with her. And Dad says he spent 6 weeks just teetotal and drunk, and she never knew. So we moved down, and Dad was still drinking. And, you know, we're getting this old saying, well, we'll wait till we get into our house, and things will get better. Okay. We moved into our house a month later. Things didn't get better. Dad was all right with his drinking. He kept a bottle of gin under the kitchen sink. That's what it is. And he'd go in there and take a drink out of it and pour the rest of it full of water. So one night the family got in a heated argument, or Mom and Dad got in a heated argument, and the family got dragged into it. And Dad gave it this, well, you know I can quit this drink, and walks in underneath the kitchen cabinet, pulls out the gin bottle, and pours it down the sink. Not a speck of booze in it. So we started getting family advice, and all y'all know how family advice is when you're living with a drinker. You know, one of them's telling us, just leave him. And that was a great idea. I was all for that. Let's just get out of Dodge. Aunt Rosie, the one that he stayed with, decides that we ought to put Epsom salt in his booze. We tried that once. I was getting about the age now to where instead of hiding or pouring out the bottles, a friend of mine and I, we'd take them out and we'd dispose of them our way. Keep it in the family, right? The garbage man loved my dad. He'd be afraid he'd get caught, and he decided he'd hide it in the trash can. He'd pass out, and the garbage man would go running down the street the next morning, just a big old grin on his face. I think we're the only people in St. Albans that ever got their trash picked up every day. August 9th, 1977. Yeah, it's 77. August 7th, my dad went into the treatment center at Shenandoah Lodge. August 9th, 1977. I was taken by the shirt collar, along with my sister, put into a car, and taken to this place where they had this thing called Alateen. Mom was good about it. You know, a lot of people drag in there and say, you will go, period. With Mom, you go once. If you don't like it, you don't have to go back. Well, I had already pre-decided I wasn't going back. This was my 16th birthday, and I definitely had other plans. Dad had left us a present that he hadn't cleaned out before he left for Shenandoah, and we were going to have a good time. So I went to Alateen, and I'm very grateful that I did. I met a lady who's very dear to me, and this is the first time I've ever spoke where she hadn't introduced me, so I was beginning to wonder if we were going to do this right or not. I went into the Alateen meeting talkative and around new people. That's very rare for me. I was wanting to learn. I was wanting to know why. I was wanting to know what I could do, how it happened. You know, he wasn't drinking before we came along, so it had to be partly our fault. I came in there, and there were some very, very knowledgeable people. There was Tina and Dunst, the sponsors of the Alateen meeting, and there was a set of super Alateen people there. We kind of grew into the program together. All of the people that were there were basically new, hadn't been there more than a couple of months. So we grew very close as a group. Okay. The group was, I'm a quote-unquote, I help the New St. Albans Alateen group now, occasionally when I'm there. That group is a real good group, They've got a real nice, real good sponsor. I don't want to compare the two groups, because I'm a little bit older now than I was then. But at the time, that group was the best thing that ever happened to me. I had no church, I had no God, I had no friends, no family. And it was just exactly what I needed. It was a shame it was only once a week. Like I said, the group was, we were a tight-knit group. I haven't seen any group that tight, probably due to our ages and the smallness of the group, that I've seen in anywhere. Any of y'all that are in Alateen, if you don't go into Al-Anon, you're going to miss a super change. As long as you don't go one step further, you're fine. I'm very grateful for AA. I didn't mean that to sound anything like I was not grateful for AA. I just hope to God I never see it. You want me to hurry, right? Through 16, 17 and a half, when I was in my high school years, Alateen was a great help for me. It helped me come out of my shell. October 27th, 1978, I joined the Army. Still haven't found out why. I had I had several opportunities to go to very good schools, West Virginia University, Marshall, Maryland University, several good schools. I decided I was tired of school and wanted to go to the Army. So I went in the Army. And when I went in the Army, I gave up the program almost totally. I didn't feel that I needed it. I was grown up now. I was out on my own. Why should I have to depend on a little blue book and people? So I regressed back into being very back-asswards and shy, I guess you'd call it. I hope I'm not back-asswards anymore. I spent 3 years in the military, and during the military, while I was in the Army, I won several distinguished medals for doing my job, and my job was narcotics, which I seemed to be very suited for. I knew what the people were thinking when they were using them, and I just had a good background for it. I got out of the Army June 20th, 1982, and with all this training in narcotics, I had like 7 different federal government narcotic schools. I come home and decide, all right, what the hell, let's use drugs. So from June 20th to October 15th, 1982, I stayed high the entire time. I had plenty of money. I had plenty of friends due to the fact that I had plenty of money at the time. I had somebody to buy it. Staying high that long, hell. I mean, you get the munchies and you put on weight. You forget things. You wake up and you can't open your eyes in the morning. Your mouth feels like Ringling Brothers went through it. That's terrible. October 20th, my best friend's sister had a car accident. She had a party at her house, and we were down behind their house partying at the time. She had too much to drink, took acid, drove her car with 5 other friends, and rolled it 3 times. She broke her back. That scared me tremendously. Scared me back into the Al-Anon program. Scared me away from drugs. To this day, I don't know how many days it is or months, and I really don't care. But I haven't touched drugs since then, which is, I think, a big step for me. Drugs are a crutch just the same as alcohol. Well, alcohol is a drug. But it got me thinking about the dependency that I established so quickly on, I don't know, smoking marijuana or dropping a Quaalude or whatever, that I could very easily develop that dependency on alcohol, and probably already had. But I'm not a drinker. If I drink one beer, it has a tendency of making me sick. There's nothing more dishonorable than standing out someplace and throwing up. Thanks to you, I found something that I had lost for 20 years, and that's this. Smile. There's so many smiling faces out there, and I couldn't figure out why. And I came back into program in October and have been faithful up to this last month since then. I finally got employed, so I haven't been all that faithful. Excuse me. I just want to say that I am so thankful for Al-Anon. Without it, I probably still would not have found my quote-unquote higher power. Without him, I don't think I'd be here today, because I would have definitely found an excuse not to drive up here this morning and talk in front of all you people. Great. I have made so many friends in Al-Anon. I don't want to ramble on, so I think I'm going to end it right here. But I want to leave a special message with you. If it wasn't for this program, sit back and think where you'd be right now. Thank you.
On behalf of the Conference Committee, we have a good evening, too.
Okay, at this point, I think we're to have a 5-minute break to come back and hear another speaker, and I will turn the chairing of the meeting over to Charles O. So we'll be back in 5 minutes, maybe quarter till.